This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And a good Friday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall. Franklin Kentucky, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Have you recovered from the second annual? I mean, it was a football frenzy yesterday with our futures draft. We had a lot of fun here in the network. Hopefully everybody was able to catch the two-hour live broadcast on Mitch and Paul's show during Follow the Money yesterday, Jensen. As now that we've had a night to sleep on it, how do you feel about your draft, I guess, overall?
Well, we'll talk about that upcoming. First and foremost, master of ceremonies, Dustin Sweetelson, take a bow. If he wants to get a gig, you know, as a host of a game show or doing something else, that dude will have standing offers left, right, and center. What a showman. Second only to the maestro, Mike Palm, I'm sure. We are in good hands there at the mothership. Dave, I would say the next thing we have to do is for all the participants in what we hope is the third annual VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft, I think we need to get the ballroom there at Circa, and we put everyone in the same room, and then we have the maestro, or we have Dustin Sweetelson call, you know, come to the podium, you know, with the first selection. I mean, that's the next thing.
Amazing.
So that we can, a lot of people tuned in yesterday, man. It was a lot of fun. It was great getting all the feedback, but yes, we will dive in earnest on how our big boards ended up shaping up.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to get to year number three. We can do it bigger and better and make it easier for Dustin Sweetelson. I think we ran him through the ringer yesterday pretty darn good, but he held his own. TG Thomas Gable is going to join us as he does each and every Friday right here at the Director in Race and Sports at the Borgata in Atlantic City. And we're going to have the great Lou Finicaro on as well. Jensen, really good card. I gave out some of the plays at the end of the show yesterday. We'll dive into bigger and longer detail today as how I got home on some of those picks today with the great Lou Finicaro. But let's get to it. A lot of fun and hopefully very profitable for a second straight year. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It is done, is in the books, and now we are on record with 10 picks that each member had in the second annual Football Frenzy. The Pro Football Futures Draft here at the network has been put in the books. Shout out to Steve Cohen, a great idea that he had 2 years ago. We've had a lot of fun with it, and you're right, it's going to get bigger and better, and hopefully we'll get it easier for Dustin as the years go. But Jensen, very quickly, you know, some of these picks that we gave out, and I think we try to do a pretty good job of explaining that, you're taking longer shots because we're trying to win a contest. We don't necessarily, some of these plays you will have in pocket, and I'm sure others we're just trying to win and take maybe a deeper shot on the board.
Yeah, that's the uniqueness of this competition, and we'll explain it upcoming here in about 10 minutes time of why the rationale was what it was, knowing you were limited, no alternate totals, if you will, no like player milestones above or below, you know, what the posted totals were for yardage, touchdowns, things of that nature. So that does drastically affect this standalone competition. Broader perspective, though, I think it opened our eyes, Dave. I know I wrote down a few notes listening to our fellow colleagues. Nick Bakay, by the way, the story about naming his fantasy team Matt Eumann's colon, I've laughed pretty hard in my life. Yesterday, listening to Dustin and listening to Mr. Bakay, there was hysteria. So really good stuff there. But yes, a lot of actionable content we'll dive into when we're looking at putting in some of those pro football futures here in the next coming week.
Yeah, with our regulars having Keyshawn Johnson as well. And, of course, the guru, John Hanson. A lot of fun to round out this year's second iteration. Yeah, Nick Bakay. It was a real treat, too, to get his comedic insight as well. So we'll break those down a little bit as the show goes on. Our official top 10 picks. We had a lot of people ask us on Twitter. And we're like, hey, don't worry. If you missed the show yesterday, we'll get to that. There were two preseason games yesterday very quickly. We saw the Raiders did come back to beat the Texans 22-20, which is interesting. That number was sitting at 1.5. and the Chargers do lose yesterday big 41-17 to the 49ers. So we'll get to that a little bit later on as well. How about Jacob deGrom joining the 2,000 strikeout club yesterday and the as the Mariners call up their top pitching prospect? So it's almost like not out with the old because you're still going to have Jacob deGrom, but you do bring up Cade Anderson as well in Seattle. So Texas has got their old fireballer and Seattle trying to get a little bit of a young arm to infuse them there in the same division.
Yeah, a really nice day for us on the diamond. 13 units of profit yesterday, and we did jump in live on the Rangers there, Dave. I did want to say I played the under pre-flop there, under 7.5. That was never in doubt, but more so wanted to see kind of where Washington would be if deGrom was on his P's and Q's. So we played a little Rangers minus one live. That gets home with Texas shutting out the Nats 2-0. But yes, the second fastest to 2,000 strikeouts in a career, that's Jacob deGrom. Only Randy Johnson and Chris Sale, as far as games pitched and innings pitched, were quicker. You do mention Cade Anderson, number one pitching prospect in all of Major League Baseball, number five overall prospect, 22 years old. You remember him as the ace for the national champion LSU Tigers just a year or so ago in Omaha. Was absolutely sensational in getting them across the line for the national title. That will be a welcome sight. Sometimes you need a little morale boost, Dave. Well, welcome to the show, kid, because you get one of the hottest offenses in baseball in the Chicago Cubs coming to the Pacific Northwest.
You know, right as we were wrapping up the show yesterday, played my circuit place here and got the 8.5 on the under Royals, as you talked about. So we cashed that with the 6-2 win. And of course, I kept telling you, I think I'm going to pay for my rent with the Royals over the A's. Could they just keep playing each other every day, Jensen? It's been great to watch the Royals win day in and day out here. How about this? James Harden has agreed to a 3-year, $97 million deal to remain with the Cavaliers. And I was out with one of my best buds from grade school, and I mentioned this story to him, and he said, why? So, Jensen, why? Why in Cleveland do they want to keep the bearded one there for 3 years at $97 million more?
Well, Kobe Altman does what he does, right? Okay, so we can look at a couple of items here. Number one, you have Harden at least for this season, upcoming next season, and looking at where you are at just for this roster construction, Dave. So it will be Harden and Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt. And obviously we remember that Donovan Mitchell had signed earlier this offseason that extension to keep him in Cleveland at least through 2030. So you have to make a decision now on what you do with Evan Mobley, what you do with Jared Allen. They already have the three-team trade, Max Strus, Dennis Schroeder involved there. I think this is still a team in transition as far as where do they feel their identity is going to be, and also juxtaposing that with some of the behemoth contracts now, Dave, that they have really in a spot where they're going to be strapped as far as being able to make any other improvements beyond what they've just done.
Yeah, it was an interesting query, and sometimes those simple questions don't have easy answers, but I think you did a good job of answering that as best through the Cavalier lens as to why they would do that. Hey, really good day yesterday. First round of the BMW, the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We got five guys tied at the top at 6 under par. One of those guys is Wyndham Clark. And you asked me yesterday, what about those first round leaders? I did have Hideki Matsuyama, so we get a cut of that first round leader. That was quite the sweat yesterday as our draft was going on, but we do get that home, which was really nice. And if you're looking at Scottie Scheffler, by the way, he's at 2 over par. We cashed that Tommy Fleetwood. We keep talking about that edge on Thursdays easily at plus $1.70. Ludwig right there, 4-1. He's just 2 back of Rory right now. So that's looking like we're in play there. I got to get Hideki Matsuyama up to speed a little bit, Jensen, but a really good start and an outright at 35-1 at Wyndham tied for the lead. Day one went really, really well here at the BMW Championship.
So with just 50 golfers here, how do you approach then any live ads? I know this has always been an exercise for you on Fridays. It is a truncated field. And here we go. We have Scotty, who was at one point in last place yesterday with, 3 over? And knowing, I mean, what a difference a week makes, right? Guy couldn't miss to finish the tournament to win last week. And now he kind of is retro to what he did earlier this season, where he forgot the tournament starts on Thursday. How do you handle now with this specific setup, any ads, if at all, or do you just let it ride with where your card is?
Here's the thing. If you're looking at DraftKings this morning here, Jensen, he's 41-1 to win the tournament. Okay. Now, again, you're at plus two, and you've got five guys, as we mentioned, at 6 under. So he's 8 back of five players. That's what kind of makes it difficult. Here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. If you want to take a pizza money play in Scotty at 41-1, I will not be upset with you out there, people, because I think he's going to be very frustrated, and this is a trend for him on Thursdays for whatever reason. I don't know if he can come all the way back and win it, but it would not surprise me at all if he's right there. So you want to look live top 10? I think that would be a really advantageous spot. You can get that at plus money, if you can believe that, too, at plus $1.55 out there on DraftKings. Jensen, that's probably exactly where I'd want to go with Scotty Scheffler. How about this? Vamos, indeed. Carlito did tweet out there, let's go. And Carlos Alcaraz is going to be back for the U.S. Open. I know that Zachary Cohen, we've had him on the program a lot leading up to this United States Open, where he thinks Carlito could fare here, Jensen. Good to see that one of the best, if not the best tennis player in the world, is going to be back in the showcase of New York City.
Indeed. Bienvenidos on the way of New York there for Carlos Alcaraz. Okay. Can't wait to have a couple of honey deuces, maybe homemade, watching. Dave, I don't know if you saw the get-in price there down in Flushing. It is astronomically high, not to mention the honey deuce costs an arm and a leg anyway. Happy to serve those nice and chill. Excuse me, nice and chilled, free of charge here, Joe Friso. Just saying. Wow, this is going to be fun, right? This is what we want. Carlos Alcaraz, Yannick Sinner, potential collision course there in the Big Apple. Let's rock and roll.
I've been to the Great United States Open twice, in 1986 and 1996, showing my age a little bit. If you can afford it, it's certainly not back then. Much cheaper prices when I went, Jensen. A little bit more affordable back in the day. All right, let's talk about our picks that we had yesterday in the Futures Draft. We'll break them down next right here. Beeson by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We will catch up with Thomas Gabe a little bit later on in this hour from the Borgata in Atlantic City. But the hay is in the barn, and the Pro Football Futures Draft, the second iteration here at the network, has been put to bed, and it was a ton of fun. And I know that it's a long day for us, certainly in the morning, and then get through the afternoon, and we're trying to adjust on the fly here as people make their picks, Jensen. So you got to kind of be as nimble as possible out there. There was some consternation over the rules that might have changed from a year ago. Now, I don't know. We had talked about our big boards. I know that my alt wins is where I wanted to go, Jensen. All of my win totals were thrown pretty much useless, rendered useless, as we were told while we were on the clock that you couldn't use alt win totals this year, because last year we did.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I told you yesterday morning that a lot of my selections were alt, you know, as far as the win totals, wanting to try and maximize some plus money odds. But in true closer fashion, Dave, I've been through this scenario before where the inning speeds up on you. You just step off, you slow it down, you get your ground ball, and you get out of Dodge. But I'm sure it did affect where you were, at least from teams that Absolutely. You had already identified that you like. So let's start with you. As your big board was set up, entering and then seeing, because you were picking ninth, as the first round started to transpire, did it go the way you anticipated, and did it set you up for your big board the way you had hoped?
We'll get to Stormy picking two, which is ironically the same spot I had a year ago. And I was wondering where Dak was going to go for passing leader, right? Because, again, that was a ridiculed pick a year ago, and now it was a prized pick just a year later. So that was off the board. I wanted to stay in character a little bit and see if I can get a Cowboy pick. So at nine, Jensen, and I do like the pick. I will be betting it as well. I do have it in the portfolio. Plus 215 for the Cowboys to win the NFC East. That was my first selection. You know, because you and I do the show every day, how high I am on the Tennessee Titans. And that was kind of a theme there. I did take later in the draft here, Cam Ward for his overpassing touchdowns at 20.5. And I took the Titans over 6.5 wins. And I took the long shot play. By the way, I got a better number. I got 9-1 in pocket for the Titans to win the division. But for the purposes of this draft, I have it at 8-1 here. So I think they're really in play to win the AFC South. So there were three Titan picks on there, which is, you would think that would be my Cowboy picks. I don't like the Cardinals this year. I did play their under 3.5. That's plus $1.15. I was going to take an under-adjusted win total of the Cardinals at 2.5, Jensen. So those were some of the adaptations that you had to take once you realized you were not allowed to take those adjusted win totals anymore. Bijan's the same guy I had last year for rushing leader at 7-1. And I loved your A.J. Brown pick, and that did make me alter my board a little bit. And you went to his yards. We'll get to your picks, too. I had 15-1 on AJ to get the touchdown lead. So you kind of got me in that direction there. I know I had some fun with Gil Alexander. He can't stand the Steelers. He can't stand the Mikes, whether it's Tomlin or McCarthy. I went Oppo. I like the over here for the Steelers. I really do like that play. Over 8.5 wins here to get that done. And then the last pick, I did get a little bit tripped up. So apologies out there to Dustin Sweetelson. And had to go to the Raiders with my under win total again with the wins being adjusted there. Had to redo my board. It was under 5.5 for the Raiders as my last pick in the draft. Now let's get back to that first overall pick for me, because it was going to be Cowboy related. I was hoping it was going to be Super Dak Prescott for the same pick that almost won me the contest a year ago. Stormy drafting in the same spot that I did. And remember, when I made that pick last year, JVT, I think, was on record, said it's the worst pick of the draft. What did Stormy take this year at number two? Let's hear what Stormy went with and the reaction this year.
I need a win total under for our VSiN NFL betting guide. I took the Browns alt under 6.5, but I still feel good about the plus 115 you can get on the regular under 5.5 for the Browns. I have zero faith in Deshaun Watson, and if Shedeur Sanders is your next best option, you're in a pretty rough space. I like the Browns in the future. I think it's an ugly situation for them this year. So under 5.5, plus 115 on Cleveland.
Cleveland under 5.5 wins. The play from Stormy in the fifth round, which kicks it now to Paulie Howard for pick number three here in the fifth.
Ah, Stormy, you killed me. I love fading the new Browns as a devout Brown fan because I see this soap opera every single year. So let's fade the old Browns. Give me the Ravens under 11.5 for the win total, minus $1.40. Can't believe that we're going to do this after I actually love them to make the Super Bowl, but I got to pick an under, so this is a natural hedge. If they go over, they're probably doing better. If not, I win this pick.
Oh, I love the ISO cam, Jensen, because I was reading your face for Stormy's pick there. But, you know, you heard her say, alt picks, wait, I can do this. It's not an alt pick. She's So we're still kind of going over the rules at that point. But again, Jensen, Stormy, she did nab your pick, right? That was right where you were slated to take those brownies?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? On my big board, and I told you, I was 99.9% positive that my number one overall selection, which was AJ Brown, most receiving yards at 20-1, would be there. And that was because I think a lot of people got sniped last year early and did not really think it through about the division winners. There's only 8 correct answers. Now, knowing we only had 10 picks, you wanted to try and maximize those long odds early, Dave. So here's what I did. AJ Brown, most receiving yards at 20-1. And then I wanted to kind of see, as I told you yesterday, how people were going on the way back in round two, because that could have shuffled where I wanted to go for my, I was taking a division winner in my second selection. I had either the Bengals at plus 184 to win the North, or the Vikings at plus 510. And my rationale was that the NFC North, it's pretty wide open, Dave. We could make an argument for all four teams. You really could. And so my idea there was, can I maximize the longest of long shots? That's what I wanted to do. Can you make an argument the Vikings can win the North this year? Absolutely. Could they fall on their face and finish last? Yes, they could. So could the Packers. The Lions have had injury issues in the past. All right. Everybody's on Caleb and the Bears, and they were yesterday in our futures draft. So it didn't happen there. So to be honest, my first four selections were my first four picks on my big board. So it worked out swimmingly. And then, as you heard, Stormy ended up sniping my number five. I could have gone 5-for-5 with how I lined up my big board. The Browns under win total was where I wanted to go with my fifth round selection. But as I said, I fade the old Browns instead, because this is a natural hedge. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you know that I have picked the Ravens to win the AFC and get to the Super Bowl. So a natural hedge. So win-win for me. I get a win here if they're under 11.5. And I mean, this will be a competitive division in the North. If they go over that, that means they're doing well. You, my friend, though, and this kind of goes harken back to where your ninth, you were ninth, but your first selection was what it was.
Right.
Okay. For people that didn't see it yesterday, Stormy ends up taking Dak Prescott. All right. Like Dave did last year for most passing yards. And it was hysterical to hear her be like, sorry, Dave, got to do it. And that took a Dallas Cowboy pick off the board. Here's Dave reacting. And if you remember last year, Jonathan Von Tobel was all up in arms, very colorful in commentary when Dave made that selection. Here was Dave's reaction on the Pro Football Futures draft yesterday.
At the exact same spot this time last year, at number two, I took the exact same pick that Stormy took this year, and JVT said it was the worst pick in the draft this year. He didn't say a damn thing. I will be taking America's team to win the NFC East at plus 215. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. It's coming, people. You can't stop it. The Cowboys will win the East, and at plus 215, sign me up 6 days a week and twice on Sundays. It was just so funny. Now, now JVT is Stormy's co-host. So, you know, he's got to play nice, right? He can't attack his co-host right there in the air and say, worst pick of the draft, Stormy, as he said to me last year. But by the way, in all seriousness, how much fun was it? Just the inside jokes, the sniping. And I think that I hope everybody out there understands how much fun we had, too. And, yes, we're very competitive people. We also want to win at the same time.
Couple of top moments. Number one, Keyshawn Johnson telling Stormy when Stormy took a Trevor Lawrence, or was it Keyshawn taking a Trevor Lawrence? They both had the same hair. Matt Eumanns, a selection not available this year. Wayne Krabet, if you remember, old New York Jet.
That was a good one.
John Hansen, we'll get him an updated live billboard or a big board so that he knows which picks are available. But I thought his explanations were fantastic. Again, we're so thankful to have him for Prop Points starting this year. If you are a week to week or season long prop player, it's one stop shop every single day here on the network, 1 o'clock Eastern time on weekdays. So a lot of fun. As I said, if the Hefe, Steve Cohen, if Bill AD's up early, I think the thing we do next year, we get everyone out to Circa. We get a ballroom. We get a full draft setup. If Dustin still wants to do it, he can come to the podium with the third overall selection in the 2027 VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft. So-and-so selects. That's our next step to make it bigger and better next year.
And I like the unnecessary dumping on Nick Bakay for no reason at the beginning of the draft. I had to back him up. Yeah. Like, hey, Nick, I'm with you. The Jets are going to be terrible again this year. I'm with Nick Bakay, that's for sure. Let's talk about what we saw the preseason last night. Two games have come and gone. We'll break those down next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Can you believe it? Next week, Jensen, we're talking all things week zero of college football. It's right around the corner. And with the NFL regular season right behind it, now it is the time to get your edge with a VSiN Pro subscription. Join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from all of our top analysts. And that is just the start. You're also going to get our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. You can sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So Jensen, after our draft was done yesterday, went out and watched a little bit of that Raider and Texan game in the first half. They didn't look very good for the Raiders in the first half. Fernando Mendoza, he gets picked on a pick six there. You know, all he did, Jensen, is what are the tenets? You can't throw late. You can't throw late over the middle. You can't throw against your body. Besides that, it was a perfect play. It gets returned for a touchdown. But the Raiders do come back and get the win in the second half, 22-20. So if you weighed the point and a half with the Raiders, Jensen, I guess all is well that ends well at the end of the day.
Yeah. Welcome to life at the top. And Fernando Mendoza, a crash course here in what it's like at this level. So 8 of 15, 86 yards, the pick six, as you talked about, hit five times, sacked once, right around a 37.5% pressure rate. So a little bit different than his days in Bloomington. And let's face it, it was still the Texans' backup defense, but that's how good the Texans' defense is overall, is that even sitting their starters, you have a lot of guys that are extremely fast and nimble, and you saw that. Flip side of this, Dave, C.J. Stroud, really nice 10-play drive, 69 yards on the opening there to get it in. Woody Marks, little 20-yard pinball getting into the end zone there. And then that next series is when Mendoza throws the pick six. So Raiders down 14-0 early. Houston led 17-0 after the first quarter and then 20-3 at halftime. Dave, if you are one of those people that jumped in on the Raiders money line, that was a massive price at halftime. You double digits easily, and boy, did that end up being one of the big winners last night. And this is one of those things, when you look at preseason football betting, you get the starters out by halftime, and then it's totally the wild, wild west. But Aiden O'Connell, come on down. Your table is ready.
Yeah,
this was an impressive performance. 15 of 24, 166 yards. Engineers a game-winning drive with about a minute to play when they went in there, and fantastic job. I mean, again, we talk about Clint Kubiak and where he's at about this quarterback room. This is what you ask for. This is the good problem you want to have as a first-year head coach.
We did get an email, again, by the books at VSiN.com. Ronald Mizrahiri. Ronald, appreciate your email. And he said, I think there's a very good chance that Aiden O'Connell could be the starter for the Raiders and not Kirk Cousins. He's been there longer. He thinks Kirk's going to give him the job overall. I don't know that I concur, Ronald, with that sentiment. I think it would take injury or bust to get it to Aiden O'Connell, but the point's well taken. But when you do have Clint Kubiak as a first-year head coach here out there in the desert, Jensen, he did not officially commit to KC8 here as the week one starter. So you got one more preseason tilt to go. I wonder if he's just playing coy at this point, because, I mean, again, not that we want to take everything that Mendoza did yesterday. And again, as Steve Cohen pointed out, maybe the running back's got to sit down on that route. He drifts out a little bit, so it's going to make that pass look even worse from the Kubiak, from the Mendoza side. Do you think that Kubiak is really still trying to decide who the starter is, or is just playing coy with the media at this point?
Of course he's playing coy with the media. I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Yep.
You brought in Kirk Cousins to do what he did. You don't come out and say we'd like to sit Fernando Mendoza for the entirety of the year if you don't already have a pecking order. I just think, again, this is the beauty of coming from a professional athlete, Dave. You don't take any opportunity for granted. And I think it's what Aiden O'Connell kind of looked at and said, you took this kid number one overall. I better get myself right here. And you brought in a guy in Cousins when I'm supposedly a veteran, or at least have had, a bit of sand in my boots here for knowing how to play in the NFL. I think this is more on Aiden O'Connell showing Clint Kubiak, not only am I a viable candidate for you, but I can go out and execute this offense. And so that everyone's making a first impression on this first year head coach, Dave, and he's a Super Bowl winning coordinator that understands what it takes. So I think this is a beautiful example of especially a quarterback that's been around a bit, at least early on, and has really put a lot on tape that is going to give this coaching staff a lot to like.
Yeah, and I wonder also, too, you're going to see some quarterbacks moved from some of these quarterback rooms. We're going to talk about, guys that you're going to try to sneak on a practice squads, that sort of thing. I wonder if Aiden O'Connell becomes a trade opportunity out there for teams that need a quarterback, maybe like Atlanta. 49ers all over the Chargers yesterday, 41-17 out there, Jensen. Anything that you can glean from that? And again, I know for San Francisco, it's about getting healthy here before you go over there to Melbourne for that big week number one against the Rams.
Yeah, Dejan Stribling. We were one of the first here to talk about him as offensive rookie of the year, and backs up preseason week one with another solid week two in limited action. Some continuity there with Brock Purdy, and then that really makes you smile if you're Kyle Shanahan. Four catches for 46 yards on limited snaps. Again, with no Ricky Pearsall for this year and already the attrition in that wide receiving room, we identified Dejan Stribling very early here as a potential offensive rookie of the year value. He was 30-1, ain't nowhere near that price now, Dave, and he may get into single digits before we kick off from Australia between the Rams and the 49ers, depending on what the injury situation looks like there. Dave, one of the most sincere names in football. All right, I'll see myself out. Sincere McCormick, 53 yards on six carries, the touchdown, including that long burst. Kalen Black, for you fantasy players out there, sounds like if Christian McCaffrey is going to have issues, that they favor Kalen Black. And I think that that is going to be something to monitor moving forward, because I know a lot of people, especially out there at Circa, with the fantasy groups meeting up there and getting all of that underway. I think that's going to be an interesting running back room as far as the handcuff goes. Of course, a lot of people are going to want to have McCaffrey, but you and I know plenty. When you practice next to the substation, anyone and everyone is in danger of not showing up on Sunday to be able to play as a healthy participant. So the handcuff of some of these running backs, again, you know, looking at Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan, as Dustin Swiddleson corrected us yesterday, I believe he said it's now Bijan Robinson instead of Bijan. But looking at the handcuffs, right, this is a huge part of fantasy. And so gleaning, you know, from these performances, especially in week two and dress rehearsals this week and next week, yeah, that's a running back room I'm going to keep my eye on.
You know, the one takeaway for me, too, and it's hard, obviously, when you're a third overall pick back in 2021 and you're Trey Lance. And we saw Justin Herbert was out there for one series, one for two. And then it's Lance, he's 10-16, 73 yards passing, everything's dink and dunk, and he just, you know, he's got the big body frame. You can understand why Kyle Shanahan back then, they got infatuated with him. And remember, they tried to give him the keys to the operation back in the day in San Francisco, and then they traded him to Dallas, and Jerry gave up a mid pick to go get him, kick the tires on him. Nothing there in Dallas. And now I know that's exactly what Jim Harbaugh is doing. And Jensen, sometimes, because I saw people on Twitter kind of openly discussing why isn't this working for Trey Lance. And I just kind of go, certain guys can play at this level and certain guys can't. This is 5 years now. This isn't like, you know, I know that even Justin Fields obviously has made it at a much bigger scale than one we're talking about here with Trey Lance. But for a third overall pick in the NFL draft, you can understand why you get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity show that you can play in this league. I just wonder if he's shown that he just can't play in this league with all these different iterations, all these different head coaches, all these different offenses. Not one has seemed to suit his skill set.
I told you that the Chargers were full of question marks for me, and thus why I did not have them winning this division. I did have them qualifying as a wild card. I am really going to be wary of, you know, million selections, you know, week to week. Remember, they're going to be one of the largest favorites in week one against the Cardinals. And I need to see line continuity with these backups and these changes. And there's just not a lot of time, to get on the same page, Dave. So I know that Jacoby Brissett has been awful in week one. In any time he has been a double digit dog, as far as being straight up. Now, covering, whole different question mark there, but something to monitor here for the next couple of weeks as we finish up the preseason, what that line continuity looks like for the Chargers and how Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel adjust, because it was about keeping Justin Herbert healthy. Marian Hampton is going to be affected here. So interested to watch what the Chargers do play calling wise first couple of weeks of the season.
I really like this football team, as you know, but without Tyler Biotis there playing center, Trey Lance is your backup quarterback. God forbid Justin Herbert gets hurt. I would not want to be sitting on win total overs if that were to happen. Let's see what they're taking money-wise out there at the Borgata TG. Thomas Gable joins the program next right here on VSiN by the Books.
Tuned in in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jens Lewis here with you. Love going to the Borgata this time of the day, each and every Friday, and catch up with TG Thomas Gable, the director of the race and sports at the Borgata. Give him a follow on X at T Gable Sports and joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. And TG, I was kidding during the break there. Now that our futures draft is done here at the network, have you seen a rush of money of people coming in to back our play, specifically Jensen and I's selections on the big board yesterday?
I guess, has the draft been graded yet? Have we come out with the official grades for everybody?
Yeah. TG, it's funny you say that.
To give us the grades.
No. It happened. Okay, so Luke DeVosta, who does a fabulous job producing Follow the Money for Mitch and Pauly, he did, you know, as we all live in this AI world, he actually ran the draft through both Claude and Grok. And right now, Claude has Tim Murray as the number one power-rated draft from yesterday. Nick Bakay is last, unfortunately. Claude has Dave Ross 7th and me 10th. And then Grok, a little bit different here. I believe that Grok has Stormy as the number one overall board. And whoa, then I think that it is Keyshawn Johnson as the worst there. So, I mean, AI, you know, pick your flavor there. Those officially are the artificial intelligence early power rankings of the Pro Football Futures draft yesterday.
Well, I'm so glad that the models agree. It seems like they're right on point. And, you know, Dave, I know it's got a stick in your craw a little bit that Tim Murray was ranked number one in that one grade. So I guess we'll see how it plays out through the season.
Yeah, we will. And again, he was third last year and I was fourth. I don't think that that's gone unnoticed either here. So we'll see for the bragging rights in the DMV. And I know Gil Alexander has something to say about that as well. Hey, what are you guys making so far of the preseason totals or the preseason results that we've seen so far? Are you seeing anybody maybe coming in now after reassessing what they've seen in the preseason, maybe whether it's a win total or a division total, something like that? Because I think the Falcons feel like one of those teams that maybe people are down on from what they've seen and heard so far in the preseason.
Sure. I think it's not just the preseason, but obviously injuries that you're hearing about in training camp and the way that some guys look. I'll tell you, one of the teams that really has, obviously the 49ers have been talked about a lot since their training camp opened, and the injuries that have come forth, and even guys who haven't been injured, just they don't look good. I mean, obviously Debo was brought in, but it's not the Debo that we used to see in San Francisco. You know, Evans has looked slow. So it's San Francisco is kind of getting ignored there after training camp. Sorry, you kind of saw the 49ers futures dry up a little bit. You know, with others, you know, it depends if some rookies have some decent games in the preseason, you might see some action then come in on like offensive rookie of the year or defensive rookie of the year and so forth. So it's those kind of markets that tend to get a little bit more of a course correction after some of the preseason action. But in terms of the games themselves, I mean, there's obviously opportunities out there. I mean, last night with this Raiders and Texans game, you know, wild, you know, first half, it was all Texans. So you only saw Stroud through one series. He looked decent there. And Mendoza got the entire run of the first half. And Texans were up huge at halftime. And then Raiders come back under Aiden O'Connell in the second half. So and we're able to cover the closing 1.5 as well. So
amazing.
You know, you get some wild results there in the preseason. And if you're betting these full games, you know, I mean, honestly, anything can happen once you get into those second halves and you have the second and third string guys playing. Any result can happen there, no matter how much you're down necessarily in the first half. And Raiders were an example of that last night.
TG, we know that a few people yesterday in our Pro Football Futures draft might have been living on a prayer with some of their selections. But slippery when wet are some of the NFC East futures that people are looking to bet this year. I hope people caught the tie-in that I had with the great Bon Jovi. If you look at the NFC East right now, and I know Dave obviously follows it in earnest with his Cowboys, but with what's transpired to this point, what we've seen now through at least a week and a half of the actual preseason games, anything changed for you personally? And then where do you guys sit at the Borgata? I would imagine heavy Eagles money and, of course, the Giants and the Jets there. Does it kind of line up with the hierarchy we've seen in the past, or are there a changing tectonic plate or two with the NFC East?
Well, I think let's look at Dave's Cowboys there, Jensen, because there has definitely been some love for them in the betting market in terms of their futures and season win total. We opened their win total 8.5. It's currently sitting 9.5. Now, I did offer Dave an alternate win total of 11.5 the other day. And before I could even accept that wager, Lou Finocchiaro swooped in and took Dave's action on that. But, in all seriousness, when you look at Dallas's schedule, it's essentially, middle of the road is a little tougher strength of schedule. So we know, is with this team that's coming in, I mean, is it all coming from Dave? No, of course not. This defense could be, should be much improved from what we saw a season ago. Mm-hmm. And, we know the offense can be explosive. They also have the best kicker in the league. But I'll save my questions about the offensive line for Dave at the end of this segment. But, the Cowboys opened at +250 to win the division. Now they're down to 2-1. So, the team that everyone's chasing, the first back-to-back winner of this division over 20 years, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, guys, this is very much an Eagles house, as Jensen alluded to. Philly and New York are the two big markets here in town. So we always take money on the Eagles and Giants. But this offseason has been a bit of an anomaly because in terms of the division, it's been Giants futures and Cowboys futures that have been rolling in. Wow. Both have more written on them to win this division than the Eagles do here, which pretty unusual. So Eagles are currently +125. That's the best price they've been. Season win total is set at 10.5. That's been bet to the under, which is now juiced to -145. And we saw the Philly offense get bogged down a lot last season. And once again, they have a new OC in Philly now in Sean Mannion. This has been a common theme since Jalen Hurts arrived, and he's had to learn new systems seemingly every year. He'll be under center more this season. No more A.J. Brown, who sometimes appeared to be a big distraction, but they did draft Mekhi Lemon out of USC, and he's been a popular play here to win Rookie Offensive Player of the Year honors. And I think the defense in Philly will still be one of the better units in the league. And then, the other hot team in terms of futures has been the Giants, now under direction of John Harbaugh. So season win total been set at 7.5. We've seen a lot of money come in on the over there. Their division odds have gone from 7-1 down to +550. Health is going to be the big issue for this team, and that starts with Jackson Dart at quarterback. You never want to change a good football player's instincts and how they play the game, but Harbaugh may want to work with Dart on, making smart decisions when he is carrying the ball and avoid some of the harm that came his way last season. For the defense, even without Dexter Lawrence, the defense should be good and should be able to create some havoc up front for opposing quarterbacks. Maybe some work needed there in the secondary. But then that leaves the Washington Commanders, who have almost become an afterthought in the division. And that really complete 180 from how things were perceived just 1 year ago. Everyone was super high on this team coming in the last season, and then injuries and a bad defense really took their toll, and they ended up 5-12. Dan Quinn being back as head coach this year, a season win total set at 7.5, same as the Giants. Not a ton of optimism here, as they don't have a particularly easy schedule. Currently +550 to win the NFC East, up from 5-1 earlier in the offseason. But Dave, let's get back to the Cowboys here. If there is one weak point here on that team? Is it the offensive line, and what, and really, or in your mind, where is that?
You got to keep the Tylers healthy, because you don't see three Tylers starting here in Guyton, Smith, and Booker. Tyler Booker, to me, is the best of the three here, and I know Tyler Smith is really, really good as well. I really do like Cooper Beebe being back. Remember, he had the concussion last year, TG. Actually like the offensive line. To me, the question is going to be Christian Parker and the defense, the youngster coming over from Philadelphia, possibly up as many as six new starters out of 11 on defense. TG, that's where I got to see if that can match. Your point about the Eagles, though, is well taken. Mitch Moss actually got them super late to win the division, obviously a plus money in our draft yesterday. So TG, it does feel like people have kind of slept, if it's possible, on the Eagles a little bit this year. TG, great stuff, man. Everybody give him a follow, T Gable Sports, and go check him out at the Borgata. Much more to get to, more football.